Well, the Bible contains numerous examples that are designed for our benefit. You have good examples for us to emulate, and then there are bad examples for us to avoid. Today we're going to take a look at a lesson in the latter category, the bad example of a man named Eli as a father to his sons. Let's open up to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And in verse 3, we see this man went up to the city to worship and sacrifice to Shiloh. It says the two sons of Eli, here we are introduced, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So at this time, Eli is the high priest. He's assisted by his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And then we turn to the next chapter, where the next mention is made, chapter 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were the sons, and this is in the King James, the sons of Belial. The sons of Belial, they did not know the Lord. This is a very strong negative statement. The sons of Belial basically really directly influenced by Satan. Their character was evil. It was deplorable. They rejected God, even though they were priests assisting their father Eli. What were some of the things that they were doing in that office? Verse 13, since the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, struck it in the pan or kettle, a cauldron or pot, and brought up the priest, and that the flesh hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came there. Now, this portion was not for the priests, but it says in their lust, these two sons, they just took it for themselves. They really defiled the sacrifice. Verse 15 says, also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, hey, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he'll have sodden flesh of the knee, but raw. And if any man said to him, well, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as your soul desires, then he would say, no, but you shall give to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So there's people coming up to sacrifice, and they would be bullied to do the wrong thing so Hophni and Phinehas could get, you know, their portion that they didn't even deserve. Total lack of respect for their holy duties, a total lack of respect for those bringing up the offerings. Verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. People are like, why should we even go up there? These sons are evil. They're messing with us. Let's not even sacrifice. How did they develop such irresponsible behavior? We are not told specifically. Now, what about Eli, the father? Did he know what was going on? Well, in verse 22, it says, Eli was very old. He heard all that his sons did to Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What? They actually committed fornication at the temple. And some Jewish writers that saw this, they actually said, this is probably shouldn't even be in the Bible. Like maybe it's someone put this in here because no one would be that evil to do that. And, you know, as Jeremiah said, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Like, yeah, they actually did that. They actually did that. In verse 23, Eli has something to say. He says, why are you doing such things? I hear of your evil doings by all of these people. No, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If anyone sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? So he had something to say. Doesn't seem to be that powerful or that really, hey, what are you doing? This is, it says, notwithstanding, they did not listen to the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. So Eli talked to them. It seems like it really, it certainly wasn't very effective. And I don't think he really let him have it. There's so many things he could approach. You are priests, right? You're my sons and you're priests. And we're actually going to see later on that there's no doubt that Eli was failing. He was failing basically in two ways, as the high priest, but you might say even more as a father to the sons. He was failing to take care of them. The sons walked away unrepentant, and certainly at the least, right then and there, he should have removed them from being priests, but seemingly let things go on. Well, God actually had to intervene because Eli wasn't doing anything. Verse 27, a man of God, didn't even say who it was. It says a man of God came to Eli and said, thus says the Lord, did I plainly appear to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer on my altar, to burn incense? Okay. Verse 29, why are you kicking at my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded in my habitation? And you honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chief of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So God had inspired an individual to get in Eli's face and said, there is a big problem. You're not dealing with this problem. And this is very, very serious. Obviously, it was all condemned. We just read on in verse 30, wherewith the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house, the house of your father, should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, but them that despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come, I will cut off your arm, the arm of your father's house, that there shall be not an old man in your house. You shall see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which the Lord gave Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And the man of yours, whom I shall cut off from my altar, shall be to consume your eyes, grieve your heart, and all the increase of your house shall die in the flower of their age. This is a roundabout way of saying, hey, you and your sons are disqualified from the priesthood. You're disqualified. And further, it indicates that the sons are going to die in a tragic way. Verse 35, I'll raise up a faithful priest, which will do according to that which is in my heart and mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. So once again, in no uncertain terms, the priesthood would depart forever from the house of Eli. Now, in the meantime, God did raise up a new high priest, and that was Samuel. Chapter 3 and verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'll do a thing in Israel, at both which the ears of everyone that hears will tingle. I'll perform against Eli all things that I've spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile. And note, he did not restrain them. He did not restrain them. Here is a very clear scripture which condemns Eli, again, as the high priest, also as a father. He knew all about it, but he did nothing about it. He didn't restrain them. He didn't restrain them. He just allowed them to keep doing what they're doing. And the ending of Eli's sons was indeed tragic. Chapter 4 talks about this. Israel fought against the Philistines in battle. And let's see. Eli, let's jump to verse 15. With this, as this battle was going on, he's 98 years old, it says in verse 15, chapter 4. He couldn't see, and this messenger said, "Hey, I came out from the army and I fled." And he's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, Israel's fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter." And he tells him, "Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark is taken." Like, horrible news. The ark of the covenant is taken from the Philistines? Like, what? "And your sons are dead." Your sons are dead. And we see the end of Eli in verse 18. "Came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God." It's interesting. Not that his sons were dead, but the ark of God. "He fell off from his seat backward by the side of the gate, broke his neck, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He was, obese, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Right? And all of this, horrible news, all of these things, the result of Eli forsaking his role. What should he have done? What should he have done? And in this case, Eli, the father, at the very least. We have our scripture here. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We have one scripture here. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. It says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You have to deal with, in this case, children, although the sons were older, but they were acting completely foolish and childish. But it says, hey, when you have to deal with problems, the rod of correction, you have to deal with it as a father. Well, he failed miserably, as we know. Again, at the least, he should have removed them from the priesthood. But he lacked that character, and he paid the price, to say the least. What we can learn from this, as fathers are responsible to rear their children properly, instill right behavior and character. And part of the duties is to take corrective action as necessary. Fathers should not be absent fathers. When children misbehave, they're just, they walk away or make believe nothing's going on. Being too lazy or uninvolved to invoke the correct punishment as necessary. And corrective acts are always to be acts of love, right? Correction is there to correct a wrong action and behavior to set the child back on the right track, right? That's always got to be the motive, right? Love. Eli's example as a father is just a terrible example. And it's a warning for all fathers to not to forsake the responsibilities, which, of course, in that case, led to really dire problems. On the other hand, let's heed the wise proverb that we read. Make sure that we take the right steps to rear our children with proper discipline that will direct them in the right path.